How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fiske, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
I think we kind of got accustomed in American Christianity to the big show where you get a stadium full of people and there's mass conversions like Billy Graham, where at the end of the sermon he's got his altar call and then the people are just coming down in droves and he could walk away from that city and say thousands, maybe even 10,000 people gave their heart to Jesus in Billy Graham's parlance. But if you look into the book of Acts, when the apostles are doing their work, when they're going out and doing that work of the evangelist, it's not crusade style. It isn't. Sometimes it's just one person at a time. We have one of those, one person in her household, in the story of Lydia in Acts chapter 16. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on this Wednesday, May the 6th, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
We could certainly say something about the power of the gospel when we have 3,000 people saved on Pentecost Day, 5,000 people saved when Peter preaches his second sermon in the temple environs there early in the book of Acts. But here we are with Paul out there in the distant hinterland, and it's just one lady. What can we learn about the power of the gospel in that case?
What we would learn about the power of the gospel is that it is as effective as it is anywhere when the word of God is spoke, and a very important part of this is that the Lord opens the heart of those who are hearing. In fact, you mentioned the Pentecost. How did so many come to faith there? They heard the word of God. Peter did that sermon talking about Jesus and encouraging repentance and baptism for the gift of the remission of sins and for the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it really doesn't matter. We know later on there are so many people in Philippi. Paul writes a letter to the Philippians, those who are Christians there. But it appears that the town was so small, there were not even enough people to have a synagogue. It takes 10 men to have a synagogue. And when there is no synagogue, then the women would gather at the river where they would often have a Bible study and a place of prayer. And so when it says that on the Sabbath, we went outside the gate to the riverside where we supposed there was a place of prayer, since there was no synagogue yet there, they then just began to speak the gospel. And the gospel is well summarized with Peter's sermon about Jesus coming to die on the cross for your sins and so forth.
So set the context for us here, because this is one of those cases in Acts chapter 16 where the Holy Spirit has actually called Paul and his companions to this very region through a vision or a dream. What's the context for the story of Lydia?
Yes, in fact, the first part of chapter 16 is interesting because it appears that the Holy Spirit moves Paul and his followers in a direction different than they had wanted to go. In fact, verse 6 says, they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Now, that may come about because of a vision, or maybe there were some circumstances that did not permit them. It's like saying, we're kind of forbidden to speak the word of God in Saudi Arabia. The laws are against that. You'll be put in jail. And so that's the way that God hasn't opened up that area yet. But then when they did go into the area of Mysia, down to Troas, Paul received a vision. A man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, what's interesting about this, this is now the first missionary journey to what we call today Europe. And therefore, Paul, when he had seen the vision, he went to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach, and this is very important, the gospel to them. Preaching the gospel wasn't just giving the historical accounts of what Jesus went through, as are reiterated in the Apostles' Creed, but the promises of the forgiveness of sins, the robe of righteousness, the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what they were to be preaching. That's what the essence of the gospel is.
So they meet this woman. What are we told about her?
Well, the only thing we're told is that she seemed to be somebody that people looked up to. She was from Thyatira, and that was a city that was known for the making of purple goods. Purple goods were very expensive. But she's also said that she was a worshiper of God. So once more, we have this situation where this is someone who already was a believer, like Abraham, looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. But then when she heard the word from Paul and others, then her faith focused on Jesus as being the fulfillment of what she already believed about the coming of the Messiah, and that's why she was saved and then, of course, then baptized.
She's called a worshiper of God. With about a minute before we take a break, what does that mean?
The word worshiper of God, and this is kind of important to look at, in the Greek particularly, was a word that meant that she already trusted in the true God. She revered the true God. She was devout. She was religious. That's why she was with the other women in prayer, which would mean some kind of a worship service. The particular word used as worship there is the word which means to worship or to revere God. And to revere God means to honor God, to praise God. So she would have been one of the remnant in the people of Israel who were looking forward to the coming of the Messiah.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Wednesday afternoon, the 6th of May, in Acts chapter 16, the story of Lydia the seller of purple.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men. And older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com, churchmusicsolutions.com.
Keeping the message straight, getting the message out. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What does it mean to be a Christian woman in our feminized secular society? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Ladylike, Living Biblically. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Ladylike by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. A great Mother's Day gift, Ladylike, Living Biblically, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're in Acts chapter 16 with Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You'll find a link to that at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, I want to come back to something that you had mentioned in passing just a few minutes ago in some detail, if we could, because the wording here that Luke chooses to talk about Lydia and her response to Paul's message, he says, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. A couple things there. When it says the Lord, is that speaking specifically of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes, it would be, because in the context, the only time the word Lord is used would be referring to, you know, somebody as the head of a manor or something along this line. But in this particular case, the word Lord is Kyrios, which is the Greek way of talking about Jesus is God. Remember, Thomas, my Lord and my God, same Greek word. So it's clear it's God who is doing these two items.
Now, it says he opened her heart, and that's very familiar in Luke's gospel. In fact, I think at the end of Luke's gospel, we have Jesus himself opening people's minds and hearts to understand God's word. Talk about that, if you would.
Yes, it's two verbs we have to look at. The Lord opened her heart, and also to pay attention. And the Growing in Christ does a good job in showing that it isn't enough to just hear the word of God, but also to learn it. And so the second concept about paying attention is very important, because it's referring to, therefore, the verb is used when a ship comes to the shore. You're in a big storm, you're trying to get to safety, so the ship comes to the shore. That's what was happening, that her heart was finally coming and being anchored by Jesus himself. She was now paying attention that Jesus was the fulfillment of all that she had been hoping for, and that was a very important thing.
What does that tell us, Tom? I mean, can we go so far as to say that it is not her own effort to pay attention, her own willingness to hear, that's at work here? This is, in fact, entirely what the Lord is doing in her, that apart from the Lord's working here, she would not be willing or able to pay attention.
This comes very clearly in one of Martin Luther's. He considered the two books that he wanted to remain was, after he died, the Small Catechism, the Large Catechism, and the Bondage of the Will, the book that he wrote against Erasmus's point of view that we have free will in spiritual matters. And Luther was saying, no, we're dead in sin. A person has no more free will to choose Jesus than did Lazarus have a free will to decide to come out of the tomb. Until the word is spoken and Lazarus' ears were opened and he paid attention, he couldn't come out of the tomb. The this is exactly the analogy I would use, therefore, for Lydia and all of us, that the law of this particular is we want to be able to ones to make the decision. We want to take credit for our salvation somehow. But the gospel is, no, God alone opens our hearts. He alone gets all the credit for our salvation.
So she is attentive to the word of God, and it almost says in passing that she was baptized. And after, she was baptized in her household as well. How big is baptism here? Why does this always in the book of Acts come with the faith that the Holy Spirit gives?
Because one needs an assurance of salvation outside of your own self. So often a person will say, and even Lutherans, how do you know you're saved? Well, I have faith. Well, what happens when that faith gets weak? So God has instituted a visible sign to which he has attached a promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and that's the waters of baptism, where the promises are given by Peter, and there's two of them, that you will get the gift of the forgiveness of sins, and you will also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Luther makes a big point in all of his writings that when asked, how do you know you're going to heaven? He says, I am baptized, because the elements of baptism, namely the promises of God attached to his word, are with us. And to therefore say that I am not going to heaven is to say that God is a liar.
Okay, so she's baptized along with her whole household. What would you point out from that? Because that's not the first time we've heard that in the book of Acts either.
No, there's a certain jailer, and his whole household is baptized. It's very clear, and one of the best authors I ever read on this was Joachim Jeremias. He was an individual who knew the Aramaic, and he pointed out that when Jesus says, baptize all nations, and he also looked at the word household, that included even infants. Particularly in the census, even that the Romans had to go to Bethlehem, would have included all of your children, regardless of your age. So when Jesus talks about baptizing all nations, and when they talk about the household, that would mean that any infants, if they were in that household, although we don't have indication they were here, but if they were, they too would have been baptized. For the gift of baptism is for everybody.
What does she mean when she says, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay?
What she's taking a look at is the term judged here is krino. And that means that God is making a decision about what? That she has been sinless? No, that she has been faithful. This is really important because this is another error even Lutherans make. How do you know you're going to be saved? Because I have faith. No, faith is not the cause of salvation, but it becomes the evidence God looks for to see if you're truly a member of his family. And she, in saying to be faithful, she's referring to her trust in what was told her by Paul. And therefore, after her baptism, she's talking to Paul, and by the way, Luke is with him and others. Therefore, she's inviting them to come to her house, to become her visitors, abide there. And she almost forced them. The word is, she prevailed upon them, she constrained them. She almost employed force, it gives that indication, because she was so happy to hear this good news. And therefore, if she has been judged to be faithful, that is, trustworthy in what she is saying, she wants them to join with her in the house. Remember, in those days, when you had guests or visitors that would eat with you, that meant that you were equal to them. And this is really a humility kind of thing she's doing here. She knows that she's not an apostle, but if you have judged me to be trustworthy enough to the Lord, namely what he has said through you, then would you please come into my house, which means would you eat with me, and there would be an equality there.
And in time, or actually not in time, very quickly, by the end of chapter 16, it's essentially her home that is the temporary place of the gathering of the church. They go to jail. There's the famous story of them being released from jail and the jailer there at Philippi. And then they go back to Lydia's house where they find all the brothers. Her house has become the Philippian church, hasn't it?
Exactly. And by the time Paul therefore writes his letter to the Philippians, you've got quite a large group there. And it shows, yes, women are not permitted by God to be ordained, but he certainly uses men, women, and children in ways that foster the wonderful gospel message of Jesus Christ so even more can be brought into the family.
But that that says something, because it's a part of the pattern that is followed, or that begins, I should say, in Jesus' ministry with respect to women, isn't it?
Well, Timothy is talked about that his grandmother and mother were the one who brought him up. And so just because a woman is not permitted to be ordained doesn't mean that they cannot be telling their children, sharing the message. In fact, most of the Sunday school teachers I had were women. And with the little kids, they did a better job than I did.
So let's talk a little bit about the opposition that Paul and his companions immediately meet. This looks great. They go down to the place of prayer, and there they are. They meet Lydia, and she is converted in her whole house, and the church has begun. The next time they go down to the place of prayer, it's a whole different story for them.
Yes. They meet a slave girl. This actually is part of next week's lesson, Paul and Silas in prison. But they met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination, and boy, she was bringing a lot of money for those who owned her. And she was following Paul and talking about how they were servants of the Most High and all this. She kept doing that for many days. Paul finally became annoyed and turned and said to the evil spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. Well, you can imagine the owners, after they had found that their profits were now going downhill. They seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers, and before you know it, they were in jail.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, Lydia, in Acts chapter 16. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. When we come back, we're going to talk about how it is that this sets the pattern, really, for all mission work, whatever it may be, God sending men either here or abroad to simply preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado; St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri; Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri; Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana; Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee; and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's amazing to me that one of the greatest life, in fact, the greatest life ever lived, that of Jesus of Nazareth, has come under attack for being non-historical.
Dr. Paul Meyer talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
If we use all the rules of historical research, we find that Jesus passes all those tests perfectly, and that indeed there is easy documentation that I can give to every Christian to prove that, yes, there was a historical Jesus of Nazareth beyond all debate.
You can meet and hear Dr. Paul Meyer making the case for the historical Jesus Friday, June 19th and Saturday, June 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is located 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Attendance is limited to 400. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. I know the kind of anxiety that you could feel even walking into a little classroom with little children as a Sunday school teacher. I know what that is like. Even in that simple situation, you wonder, do I have at my disposal enough knowledge of the Bible in order to teach these kids? And it is so important that we teach them rightly from God's Word at the level of their understanding, but rightly from God's Word. Well, the Growing in Christ curriculum for Sunday school, well, kind of takes care of that. They do a lot of your homework for you, and the kind of guide that you have here into the Scriptures is really unbelievable. Just on the subject of baptism, here, when the subject comes up, it talks about the benefits of baptism. It lists them off, and it lists 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Bible references with the particular gift given in baptism right there in the teacher's guide in Growing in Christ. So you have it all at your disposal and at your fingertips, well prepared to walk into any Sunday school classroom and teach God's children of all ages. That's what Growing in Christ is all about. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand or call Concordia Publishing House. They'll send you a sample you can see for yourself. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask about Growing in Christ, the Sunday school curriculum. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, let's explore a little bit kind of the idea or the pattern that is set here by Paul. None of us are apostles. I mean, you made that point at the very beginning. So we don't have the power to go out there and kind of speak Scripture or to work miracles in Christ's name. But we do send missionaries, we do send pastors into the mission field. Has anything changed from Paul and Timothy's time or Paul and Silas's time to today?
I would say no, on the basis of Romans 10:17. How does faith come about? It doesn't say faith comes from somebody making a decision, but rather faith comes from hearing, and hearing what? The word of Christ. If I was going to get anything across, both to the Sunday school teachers today, as well as to the Sunday school children, it is the concept that we talk a lot about in Lutheran circles, the means of grace. No one will ever see Jesus personally and come to faith by hearing him in the pulpit. But he uses the means of grace. That is, if you're going to a grocery store, what's the means you get there? Well, you might use a bicycle, a car, or a bus. What is the means by which God delivers the gospel? The means are word and sacrament. In fact, it becomes so important that our Lutheran confessions say, where is the church? The church is not just where Christian people are or where there was a building dedicated with a cross on top. The church really is where the Word of God is taught in its purity and the sacraments administered rightly. Therefore, at that body of water where Lydia was and Paul and his friends gathered, the church was at work. As Paul spoke the gospel, the Holy Spirit opened her heart to not just hear, but to understand, and she came to faith in Jesus as the fulfillment of all of those Old Testament prophecies that she knew and was looking forward to. So, even children. Vacation Bible School is coming up in the summer, and by the way, you may want to take a look, if you haven't decided yet, what course to use. The Vacation Bible School by Concordia Publishing House is now available. But one of the things that we need to do is get the children who are members of the congregation to invite other children from their neighborhood to come to our Vacation Bible School. The children don't need to necessarily know theology real good, but they can invite and therefore let the means of grace come through the Vacation Bible School teachers, the pastor, and others.
And the comfort of this, Tom, I want you to talk about it a little bit. You spent, how many years in the pulpit now. You're past 40 years. Am I not mistaken?
Yes. Yes. 1974.
So 41 years in the pulpit. How many sermons? All of those sermons, Bible classes, talking with people, preaching law and gospel. Can you take credit for any of that?
No. But on the radio program today, I had a gentleman phone up, and he says, if you have mortal sin, will you go to heaven or hell? And I said, oh, you'll go to hell. And you could just see he became limp because he thinks he does mortal sin. But I explained to him that, no, if you are a Christian and have repented of your sin, all that mortal sin has become venial, and therefore it does not send you to hell. And so from God's point of view, because of the death of Jesus and the forgiveness he's given you, guess what? You have no mortal sin from God's point of view. And he said, that is comforting. And that's the point I want to make. Lutheran theology has more comfort in it than any other denomination. Where we differ with others, they take away comfort that God gives. I mean, what comfort is it if you don't believe in infant baptism and your child dies? You have to believe that, well, the child was innocent, but who knows that? And the Lord's Supper. If you don't believe it's the true body and blood of Christ, then how do you know you're really receiving the benefits of it? What good theology does is provide comfort. Now, you don't need all this comfort to be saved. A Methodist will be saved, a Baptist will be saved, a Roman Catholic will be saved, a Lutheran. But Lutheran theology gives the full measure of comfort that is available from God's Word, and that's why it's so important to keep the Word straight and get the message out.
So with about 1 minute here, Tom, bottom line the entire story of Lydia in Acts chapter 16 for us, how it ought to be basically summarized in the Sunday school classroom, about 1 minute.
It ought to be summarized by saying that you children, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because of the baptism that you received and Lydia received, where God promised to keep you in the one true faith. He promised to give you the forgiveness of sins. He promised to give you the robe of righteousness and the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that when judgment day comes, from God's point of view, you are not only sinless, but you have done every good work because you have the righteousness of Christ. And therefore, only Christ gets all the credit for our salvation.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Next week, Tom's going to lead us on a Sunday school lesson on Paul and Silas in prison, as he mentioned before. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Ken Bailey about Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and we will listen to Dr. Alvin Schmidt teaching from the 2013 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Making the Case Against Islam. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Notice how Jesus gets all the credit here. Paul walks in, and Paul is an apostle, but he brings no gimmicks, no marketing research. He hasn't gone and interviewed anyone here in this town. He simply wanders into a place that he thinks might be a place of prayer, and there prepared beforehand is a woman with a whole household ready to believe and to be baptized. It says the Lord opened her heart. The Lord gave her that attention. The Lord baptized her, and the Lord again founded yet another church. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Don't be afraid. In heaven right now, all are bowing before the Lamb upon His throne.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org.
Who are these ones in white stoles? You know who they are. And it's you. It's what will be yours.
Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.